the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. George W. Bush came to the UK with his defense of the Iraq invasion to skeptical Britons, arguing that history proves that war is sometimes necessary when certain values are threatened. Bush arrived for a three-day visit, a trip that promised contrasting pictures of elegant ceremonies at Buckingham Palace and noisy street protests by thousands of anti-war demonstrators. In a speech Wednesday at Whitehall Palace, Bush plans to argue that war is the correct path when all other means have failed. A copy of the speech reports that Bush will say, "History has shown that there are times when countries must use force to defend the peace and to defend values." But Bush did not plan to define which values he was referring to, nor when exactly it is necessary to go to war. Massachusetts' highest court ruled 4-3 Tuesday that the state's ban on same-sex marriage is unconstitutional and gave lawmakers 180 days to come up with a solution that would allow gay couples to wed. The court did not issue marriage licenses to the seven couples who sued and left the details to the legislature. Legal observers say the case took a significant step beyond the 1999 Vermont Supreme Court decision that led to civil unions in that state. An Illinois National Guard soldier who blasted George W. Bush on a local radio talk show Friday may face court-martial for her public comments, according to her husband. He told WNTA talk host Chris Bowman that his wife says she may face a court-martial for comments she made Friday. A correspondent for the Illinois Leader heard Sergeant Jessica Masek's comments on the radio and claimed she said Bush lied about the reasons America's military was in Iraq. The radio station charged that Hale's reporting was inaccurate and biased and that it was posted on an ultra-conservative news source. More IE America Radio Network news after this.
Hi, I'm Lars Ulrich from Metallica. You know, protecting your hearing may not be something that you're thinking a lot about right now, but take it from me that after a few years of being exposed to loud music and other such things, that hearing loss and a constant ringing in your ears have become a problem for me and could also become a problem for you. If you want more information about this, call the Hear Hotline. The number is 415-773-9590.
A man and a payphone were rushed to a hospital after he got his finger stuck in the coin return slot while trying to retrieve his 50 cents. Two passersby tried to help, and when they failed to free him, the man used his other hand to dial 911. Emergency crews and a representative of the company that owns the phone were sent to the scene, but they were also unable to free him. Emergency room doctors gave Emmanuel Fleming a painkiller Monday and pried his middle finger loose, using a wooden device and lubricant. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, Sneezy, go to sleep.
I can't.
You could if you take NyQuil. It'll help your symptoms. So you'll sleep great. You know, like you do when you cuddle on the couch with a warm fleece blanket, a cozy fire, and a chick flick.
Now that's my kind of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved Liquicaps.
Let me tell you a story of progressive progress. In 1939, two-thirds of America's senior citizens lived their golden years in cold, hard poverty. Just a decade later, that percentage was down to half. By 1959, it was only one-third, and today the number is less than 10%. That's progress. What's progressive about it is that this decline in poverty is the result of the New Deal's passage of our nation's landmark Social Security program. Yes, the very same program now under attack by Wall Street wolves and congressional opportunists of both parties who insist that Social Security is doomed to failure and facing an imminent financial crisis. Horse duties. First, this is a program that actually works, providing the modicum of income so our gray-haired citizens have a basic level of decent living when their earning years are over. Second, Social Security is a model of efficiency, requiring only a single percent in administrative costs. Compare that to the insurance corporations that suck out one-third of our health care dollars to pay for their corporate bureaucracies, executive salaries, marble palaces, and advertising. But no, cry the chicken littlers, Social Security is going broke. Hogwash. Without changing anything, Social Security is financially sound for the next 40 years. Name me a corporation that can claim that. Yet the Bushites, on behalf of Wall Street finaglers, seek to privatize this public treasure, pushing people to put their Social Security nest egg into the stock market. Hello. These are the same investment geniuses who only 3 years ago would have advised you to invest in Enron, a stock that fell from $97 a share to 57 cents in only 1 year. This is Jim Hightower saying, I say no one should be allowed to reform Social Security unless they actually need it.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Life.
Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. The phone number here is 800. Talk yes, 800-825-5937, or you can email during the program by addressing your missive to Mike D. Malloy at earthlink.net. Names in the news here very quickly. The National Transportation Safety Board has ruled that pilot error caused the plane crash that killed Senator Paul Wellstone and seven others just before the 2002 election last year. The way it's reported by the Associated Press, the twin prop King Air A100 carrying Wellstone, his wife, daughter, and three campaign workers stalled. The plane stalled when the flight crew slowed it too quickly on its approach to the airport in northern Minnesota. The plane lost altitude, veered sharply, sheared off treetops, and crashed 2.5 miles short of the runway, killing all aboard. A spokesman for the NTSB said the flight crew did not monitor and maintain minimum speed. And interviews conducted after the crash, according to the NTSB, revealed what are described as shortcomings in the proficiency of both the pilot, who was 55, and the co-pilot, who was 30. During the investigation, NTSB investigators learned of two instances when co-pilots took the controls from Richard Connery, the pilot, the 55-year-old, on previous flights as he flew Wellstone to campaign appearances. Just 3 days before the fatal crash, Connery activated the wrong switch and caused the plane to pitch downward when it was 300 feet off the ground. The co-pilot corrected that particular action. After this information was presented by the investigators, the NTSB voted unanimously to accept the finding that pilot error was to blame. Wellstone's campaign manager in his three Senate races, Jeff Blodgett, said the findings were extremely disturbing. Jeff Blodgett, who spoke for Wellstone's two surviving sons, said, quote, "It's now crystal clear the crash didn't have to happen and never should have happened." Investigators had looked at the possibility that ice on the wings had contributed to the accident. They discounted that. No mechanical problems were found. Toxicology tests revealed neither pilot had been drinking or using drugs. According to the NTSB, the pilots were flying too fast as they approached the runway and didn't put their landing gear down soon enough. Trying to overcome the mistake, they slowed too much and the plane went from 190 miles an hour to 87 miles an hour in the final 90 seconds of the flight. And that apparently caused it to crash. The this is 10 days old. I don't know how we missed this. But the story was sent in to us tonight. The brother of Jessica Lynch is being sent to Iraq. You know, he's in the military. He was the one riding in the car with her when they had the homecoming parade. Relatives in Palestine, West Virginia, have said Army Specialist Greg Lynch, Jr. is being deployed to Iraq. He is a member of the, he recently became a member of the 160th Special Ops Aviation Regiment that is headquartered in Fort Campbell, Kentucky. Lynch had been assigned to the 159th Aviation Regiment, was reassigned to the 160th, and is being sent overseas to Iraq. Jeez. As you remember, Lynch, Mr. Lynch, Greg Lynch, acted as a family spokesman to the national media after his sister was rescued April 1st by U.S. forces from that hospital in Nasiriya in Iraq. And it was Greg Lynch who introduced her to the national media at her return to Wirt County, their home county, in July, and rode with her in uniform in a parade through their hometown during the homecoming celebration. The family, Lynch's family, could not be reached for immediate comment when the story came out. Now, I don't know what has happened since then, but Jim, who sent me the story, put in the subject line, "Does it get any dirtier than this?" Makes you wonder, doesn't it? I guess we are to just believe and accept that normal rotation of troops indicated that Greg Lynch should go to Iraq. Okay, that's two. Well, more than two. The Wellstone family, the Lynch family, and now the pig man, Rush Limbaugh. ABC is reporting something very unusual. ABC News says that Limbaugh may have violated state money laundering laws in the way he handled the money he used to buy those illegal drugs to which he was addicted. This is according to law enforcement officials in Florida and New York. They have told ABC News. Now, if he's convicted of this, this is a first-degree felony punishable by up to 30 years in prison. So aside from his trafficking in narcotics and his dealing in illegal drugs, now money laundering, what he did is very typical, I think, of someone who is dealing with an addiction, and extremely typical of someone of Limbaugh's ilk who comes across as being very smart but is, in fact, very stupid. Authorities say they became aware 2 years ago during an investigation of New York Bank U.S. Trust that Limbaugh had taken between 30 and 40 cash withdrawals from his account in amounts just under 10 grand. Now, as you and I know, amounts at 10,000 or over are automatically reported to the IRS, to the Investigative Division of IRS, Treasury Department. That law has been in effect for a long time. That is not vis-a-vis the USA Patriot Act. That law has been in effect since the war on drugs. Hell, it probably goes back to the Nixon years. So what Limbaugh was Limbaugh's lawyers confirm that a bank employee of U.S. Trust in New York personally delivered cash to Limbaugh at his New York studio in amounts of $9,900 or so on 30 to 40 different occasions. Now, an expert on financial crime said, quote, "that in itself is a suspicious activity. They are structuring their transaction to avoid reporting to the government, and the bank is required to file with the federal government something called a suspicious activity report." Now, Limbaugh's lawyers say, no, it was the bank that suggested this arrangement? The bank. No. The expert on financial crime said, now the problem will be, did Limbaugh assist his drug supplier in hiding the proceeds from the government? Limbaugh's lawyers, of course, say he didn't do that. Of course not. And that he's being falsely accused by those who want to force him off the air. And officials say a decision on whether to prosecute on the money laundering charges will be made in the next few weeks. So, you know, I said that Limbaugh is finished when he got busted, and I stand by that. He may hold on for a little longer. But if there's anything law enforcement likes, especially IRS or Treasury Department or FBI or the Justice Department, it is a high-profile sting. Now, you might say, well, yeah, but this is Rush Limbaugh. He's responsible for the Republican Revolution as much or more so than Newt Gingrich. Maybe so, but he is a chunk of raw meat to right-wingers. They couldn't care less. To the Bush crime family, Limbaugh is a useful idiot. And if the time comes when the Bush crime family can gain traction and to prove themselves to be the law and order geeks that they say they are, by tossing Limbaugh to the prosecutors, they will do it in a heartbeat. Limbaugh's days are numbered. His days are numbered. Money laundering. You wonder how many of those 30 to 40, 10,000, what is that, $500,000 right there, how many of those transactions wound up with the drug cartels in Afghanistan or Colombia or Mexico or the south of France? How much of Limbaugh's earnings went directly to terrorist supporting drug organizations? Now, not that Limbaugh cares. When you're a junkie, you don't give a damn if somebody cuts your mother's throat, as long as you have your junk. That's it. I mean, you can't go beyond that. You simply can't. You may want to, but you cannot. Until the law comes breathing down your neck and you realize you're facing possibly enough time that could mean you'll spend your golden years not behind the golden mic, but in a golden jail cell in the state of Florida. Or worse, in a federal lockup in the Midwest, where the sun don't shine. Where your cellmate wants to introduce you to a new prison game called husband and wife. And then all of a sudden, you see, no more of this, well, I think I'll cure myself here. Then it becomes, oh my God, I'm in need of help. Mm-hmm. Money laundering. Of course. Absolutely. A new study, experiments conducted at Dartmouth College indicate that racism can make you stupid. Have you heard about this? There was an unusual and striking series of experiments conducted at Dartmouth College. And they used the brain imaging equipment and a crew of undergraduate volunteers. According to the findings, the more biased people are, the more their brain power is taxed by contact with someone of another race as they struggle not to say or do anything offensive. The effect is so strong, the team found, that even a five-minute conversation with a black person left some of the white people unable to perform well on a test of cognitive ability. A professor of psychology at Stanford University who was not involved in research said, just having a prejudice makes you stupider. It is really interesting. You want to hear what they did? The research team began, well, I'll tell you a little bit about it when we come back over the break. This is kind of interesting, but we've known this inherently, haven't we, you and I? That racism or bigotry or bias or prejudice is usually evidenced by people who are dumber than dog droppings, right? And now you have physical proof that that is the case. I'll tell you a little bit more about this. It kind of ties in with the decision by the Massachusetts Supreme Court today. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy. Recommend sticking your foot in your mouth at any time.
Let's see. There I was sitting around the table with foreign leaders looking at Colin Powell and Condi Rice. Yeah.
Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pants sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pants sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you take a feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come to Napa Auto Parts, because you can get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate. Remember, nothing lights up the road like halogen. And like everything Napa sells, our halogen headlights are manufactured to the highest industry standards. This is the good stuff. So come into Napa and get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate.
Get the good stuff.
Napa. Get the good stuff.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick-dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk about what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network. Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Come, fire back.
Show. We caught somebody doing something right. Fred D'Amato, Pocono, Pennsylvania. He put a sign out in his front yard to support our troops, impeach the Bush administration. Of course, Mount Pocono jumped all over him. The borough councilman, Francis O'Boyle, said, "The last couple words is what's the problem. I don't think it's right to put up a sign like that and say those things." The lawyer says it's protected First Amendment speech. John Finnerty, the borough council president, says, "Well, if we could all express our thoughts on a piece of plywood, just think what the neighborhood would look like. It might be a slight infringement of First Amendment rights," making him take down his sign. He's facing $500 a day fine. A story in the newspaper of Mount Pocono, New York, says that D'Amato removed the sign, but on Sunday said he planned to put it back up again. Well done.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. So this experiment conducted at Dartmouth College using psychological tests and also brain imaging worked like this. They took a group of white Dartmouth undergraduates and asked them to perform what's called an implicit association test. That's a test widely used to measure unconscious racial bias. The subject is given a screen and two buttons. First, the subject is asked to push the button on the left if the word that appears on the screen is a positive word, like beauty, or a common first name for a white person, like Nancy. Otherwise, they're instructed to push the button on the right. Now, after they have that session, the test is changed slightly, and the names given are those more common for a black person, such as Tyrone. The greater the difference between the reaction times in the two sessions, the more the person has trouble associating black names, so-called, with positive concepts. Next, and now remember, we're using white people here. Next, the team had each of the students speak briefly with a black experimenter, a professor, and then perform a test of cognitive ability called the Stroop test. Now, these subjects showed that the higher a bias score the student had in the IAT test, the implicit association test, the worse they did on the Stroop test after speaking with a black experimenter. Now, to uncover what was behind this effect, the team used a functional magnetic resonance imager, which is able to peer inside the brain and take a look at the activity in different areas. Each student was then shown a series of photographs, some of white males and some of black males. The more biased a student was, the more the team saw a certain area of their brain activate, an area associated with what is called executive control. That's conscious efforts to direct your thinking. This is a sign the brain is struggling not to think inappropriate thoughts. Are you still with me? Is everybody tuned to a different station? Almost done. Based on the findings, the team suggested that when a biased person interacts with someone of another race, even briefly, it exhausts the part of the brain in charge of executive control, leaving it temporarily unable to perform tasks. The report is the first time that researchers have shown a connection between racial bias and the parts of the brain responsible for higher functions. Now, this is part of a new movement, apparently, to study the neurological basis of different social phenomena, in particular racism. One study by a New York University researcher found that biased white people are more likely to have greater activity in their amygdala, a portion of the brain associated with negative emotions like fear. When shown the picture of a black person, they don't know. Eeks! A black person! Another study conducted at Stanford by a researcher and other scientists showed that the brains of white people process white and black faces differently from the moment they see them. Well, yeah, I mean, you don't need research to figure that one out. But isn't that interesting, huh? Oh, my God. If you're and I think most, if not all, white people are become racist in this society. We don't start out racist. I don't believe that black folks start out prejudiced or white people start out racist. And remember, only whites can be racist, because racism is a term that I know it's misused, but only a dominant race can impose racism. Racism is a system by which laws are written and social mores are established that determine that people of the race not of the dominant race are less human. So it is impossible in this society to call a black person a racist. You may call him or her prejudiced, biased, bigoted, pro-black, anti-white, but you cannot legitimately call a black person a racist. But white people, I don't know. It's something that we have to learn. We're not born with it. And once we do learn it, if we're honest, it takes an entire lifetime for whites to shed themselves of racism, and very few of us actually do.
Places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A A disease that kills deer proves to be remarkably persistent. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Deer and elk across North America are vulnerable to a wildlife disease that slowly destroys their nervous systems and ultimately their brains. It's caused by an unusual and very tough molecule, and wildlife experts are working hard to stop it. The ailment is CWD, chronic wasting disease. It's been seen for many years in some western states, but last year it showed up east of the Mississippi River in Wisconsin. It was the first time CWD appeared in a landscape with dense concentrations of white-tailed deer. People are taking it seriously because of the risk it might start spreading more rapidly. Mike Samuel is an ecologist who works in the Wildlife Research Unit of the University of Wisconsin in Madison. He's working with state and federal authorities to find options for dealing with chronic wasting disease.
We can look at places where the disease has been for a long time, like Colorado and Wyoming, and we can sort of see what happens if you don't succeed in controlling the disease, which is eventually it just begins to spread to larger and larger portions of the state.
Samuel says the density of herds in Colorado and Wyoming is as low as 5 animals per square mile, and yet the disease persists. That might mean that the only way to stop the spread of CWD in infected areas is to lower the numbers of deer to a point that verges on eradication.
I know nobody wants to say that zero is a good thing, but the evidence is we probably have to get pretty close to zero before naturally this disease is going to burn itself out.
In Wisconsin, there are as many as 50 deer per square mile. Samuel says the CWD hot zone in this crowded landscape has become one of the front lines for research on this wildlife disease. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
To see why people would call you up, you really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
You know that's a game that I hate to lose. And I'm feeling the strain.
About 26 before the hour. Who's this? Who's this on line two? The Governator? The Governator, welcome to the program.
Hey, hello, Malloy. How have you been?
I'm doing fine, sir. Is this, by God, it is, isn't it?
This is Arnold, your Governator. I wanted to thank you for giving me all your help during my campaign.
No, you got that wrong, pal. I mocked you and made fun of you. And by the way, how's
exactly,
the...
yes.
How's the investigation about your groping coming?
Hey, you gave me a good idea, Malloy. When you asked me about how I'm going to cure the budget woes of California,
yeah,
I'm going to come up with a groper tax. What happens here is everybody in California, they get a groper handbook.
Yeah.
And they keep the names of everybody that gropes them.
Yeah.
And at the end of the year, they come back and they give it to us and we collect taxes.
You're really sick, aren't you? I mean,
No, Malloy. No, listen. It will collect on how much a person weighs.
How much they weigh?
Right. The less they weigh, the more the taxes are.
I don't understand that.
Well, it encourages men to grope fat women that way. You understand that? No,
yeah. Oh, yeah. I do understand that. Yeah.
Hey, baby.
Well, I saw.
I'm sorry. There was someone walking by Malloy. What did you say?
I saw a picture of your swearing in, and your wife looked a little bit.
I didn't swear, Malloy. I kept my language clean, and I kept to the script.
No.
Honest.
Okay. In the ceremony that made you governor, I saw the picture of you and your wife, Maria Shriver.
Oh, yeah.
She's very slim, isn't she?
Yeah, you could use her for a pencil. Listen, hey, Malloy, I was thinking, what do you think of this? I don't know. Does California have a state vegetable?
Garlic.
Are you sure about that?
Well, I'm not sure. It's either garlic or it could be ketchup. It may be the artichoke.
I'm thinking about, I'm a health nut, and
yeah.
I think that me eating vegetables over the years has helped me maintain a pretty good physique. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, sure.
Well, I was thinking maybe we should change the state vegetable to something else.
I'm almost afraid to ask. What would that be, Governator?
I was thinking maybe Ronald Reagan. Get it? Vegetable.
Listen, it's great to hear from you, sir. One more thing. Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
One more thing before you leave me,
yeah.
By the way.
Yeah.
You asked me a question last time, and I wasn't prepared for it, and you left me hanging in silence.
For some reason, I'm forgetting the question.
Well, I want you to ask me any political question that you can think of, Malloy. And this time, I've been taking political talk.
Political, okay.
So I know how to answer your questions now.
Okay. What are you going to do, now that you're governor of California, to solve this massive financial crisis engineered by your Republican predecessors and the Bush crime family? What are you going to do to solve this this financial mess?
Malloy, this is a very good question, and it deserves much consideration. Now, I will take this under advisement and get back to you.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Have a good night, Malloy.
Yeah, you too, Governor, and thanks a lot for checking in. Oh, my God. Boy, you give these guys a little bit of publicity, and especially, you can understand, he's a Hollywood actor, first, last, and always. Any publicity is good publicity. There's no such thing as bad publicity to somebody like Schwarzenegger. And again, people have to be very, very careful in how his name is pronounced there. Massachusetts. That state's highest court today issued what's being called a landmark decision, striking a blow against discrimination. Isn't that what it is? Sure it is. A decision that makes Massachusetts the first American state to no longer deny couples the right to marry solely because they happen to be the same sex. Matt Coles, the director of the ACLU's Lesbian and Gay Rights Project, said, quote, "This court ruling says individuals who are police officers, firefighters, teachers, people who serve in our military, people who pay taxes cannot be denied the same civil rights as other couples simply because they're gay or lesbian. The court today recognized that a constitution that protects individual rights does not allow government to say that only some families will be protected," end quote. Now, I've been watching today. I broke some of my cardinal rules and tuned into cable news television today, watching the coverage and the reaction to this decision by the Massachusetts State Supreme Court. And it's what you would expect from the mouth-breathing, knuckle-dragging right wing. And what is not the least bit surprising to me is that every spokesman or spokeswoman trotted out by the cable networks to in opposition to this ruling have been from Christian organizations. Christian organizations. And some of you people wonder why these fake Christians make me want to vomit. Anyway, the executive director of the ACLU of Massachusetts said, quote, "With its decision, Massachusetts has paved the way for other states to protect the rights of other couples, gay or straight, to share in the benefits ordinarily associated with marriage, like input and access to medical information, medical insurance." There's so much at stake here that so deeply transcends the bigotry and the penny-ante prejudices of these Christian right-wingers who would no more want to see a stable gay or lesbian marriage than they want to burn their little white asses in hell. And it's disgusting. There are legal issues here. Rights of inheritance, parental rights, all sorts of rights that are involved here. The Christian Coalition of America called for amendments to the Massachusetts U.S. Constitution to ban same-sex marriage. Oh, the queers are coming! The queers are coming! Oh, my God! Let us do something to protect ourselves from the queers! They are here to destroy us and devour our children and rape our husbands and molest our wives! The queers are here! Oh! I just don't quite get it. This pathological attitude on the part of a huge segment of non-homosexual people against gay people. I don't quite get it. What is it? Now, we've looked at this before. Is it projection? Is it with a lot of white men, it's simply their horror to realize in their private moments deep inside that, you know, the picture of a gay man sometimes, or a naked man sometimes gives them an erection. And, oh, my God, oh, saints preserve us, I got to kill that real quick, don't I? But women, what is it with heterosexual women? Now, it's, again, this is only my experience. Heterosexual women who are active in the evangelical or Pentecostal or this sick, psychopathic Christian movement in this country are the ones who are anti-gay, anti-lesbian. Just normal heterosexual women, for the most part, either couldn't care less or look at the idea of gays and gay marriage and gay unions as an acceptable fact. Mitt Romney, the Republican governor of Massachusetts, says marriage is, quote, an institution between a man and a woman. Christian Coalition President, Massachusetts, one Roberta Combs, said it is reprehensible for left-wing judges such as these four radical Massachusetts judges to disregard the will of the majority of the American people who believe that marriage is only the union of one man and one woman. Well, you know, this woman ought to take a deep breath and calm down and understand that there was a time in the history of this country when every white person believed that every black person was only three-fifths of a human being, and get over it. But it's been my experience in my life that there's no rational basis, of course not, for anti-gay bigotry or prejudice. None. Now, marriage is a very conservative institution. It is a stabilizing institution. Whether you are single or divorced or married or what have you, whether you're gay or straight, let's face it, marriage for the most part is stabilizing, which is not to say that marriage is necessarily good for everybody. Look at the violence and abuse and the murder and the mayhem. But marriage itself, coupling, you know, us against the world, is a good thing. Basically, it's a good thing. Now, a lot of people say, no, it's not, Malloy. The marriage unit, whether you call it husband, wife, or family, whatever you want to call it, is the basic unit of capitalism, and therefore it's bad. Okay, fine. If you want to politically discuss marriage, that case can be made. But I'm speaking from an emotional or psychological or mental health standpoint. If there is not abuse, physical, psychological, or emotional, if two people are together in a loving relationship and they have children, whether they're same sex or different sex, what is the problem with that? Well, there is none. There is no problem with that. It's a good thing. Today's ruling will end discrimination against gay couples regarding things like pension benefits, medical insurance, hospital visitation, inheritance rights. See, these crippled Christians, which is what they are, these limping, crippled, heartbroken Christians, these sad cases, these defilers of Christ, these people like these Christian coalition types who would spit on the body of Christ. If Christ were to appear and say, "What are you doing?" They would spit on him. They would beat him. They would mace him. They would lock him up. But what they don't talk about, these crippled Christians, is what the ruling actually means, aside from allowing people to dignify their love with a civil union or a marriage. It also has to do with pension benefits, medical insurance, hospital visitation, inheritance rights, custodial agreements. My God. So what is the point to go forward with this Christian fundamentalist crap to try to ban same-sex marriages, to try to pass dangerous federal constitutional amendments, to try to destroy all of the domestic partnership laws and all these measures that state and local governments have passed to protect same-sex relationships? What's the point? Why are these Christians so motivated by such bigotry and sickness and bile? I've watched these people all day on television today. They're disgusting, just on and on. It's like, I don't know what it is. It's like they're terrified that some huge hulking queer is going to come and rape them or something. I don't get this. Two provinces in Canada, Ontario and British Columbia, allow same-sex marriages. Three states, Hawaii, Vermont, and California, have some legal mechanism for protecting gay couples. More than 100 cities in the United States have adopted domestic partnership laws. I don't understand. I don't understand. You want to come? Just last month in Massachusetts, the ACLU there filed a friend of the court brief on behalf of a 5-year-old boy who's being denied the Social Security survivor benefits that ordinarily go to a child when a parent dies. If you have children under 18 and you die, your kid will get money up to the point that he or she is 18. But not this little boy. The boy was raised by two women. And his non-biological mother, two women, one of whom actually carried his little fetus zygote baby and gave birth to him, and the other was the secondary mother. The two of them together were parents to this boy, but the non-biological mother, who also happened to be the family's principal breadwinner, died unexpectedly of a brain aneurysm at age 38. The Social Security Administration refuses to recognize this boy as her child, even though she raised him with her partner, the biological mother, supported him, and gave him her name.
Oh, no. Ain't gonna go there. Couple of dykes raise a boy, and the one dies. Well, good. Another dyke in hell.
It's sick. ACLU pointed to another case in Alaska, in which the state denied a woman with dire medical problems health coverage, even though her partner worked for the state. That relationship, the state of Alaska said, is not one they recognize. But when she applied to that same state for Medicaid, the state said she didn't qualify because she was being supported by her partner. It's like grind them any way you can. Destroy the queers. Kill them. And every time this issue comes up on whatever level, you hear these right-wing, usually fundamental Christians talking about the homosexual agenda. They're trying to take over. And contrary to what these thugs argue, lesbian and gay families, in most cases, get no legal protection in this country. All they want is equal rights. That's all. I don't understand this. Maybe you do, and I'd like to hear from you. 800-TALK-YES.
this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
more tissues.
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long, itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra, and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly. And if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or a fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briar.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, to talk to the animals. And you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All this love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briar.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, to talk to the animals. You don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All this is love.
Animal Talk. On-
seekers celebrate. Right wingers beware. More of Mike Malloy.
Love and marriage.
I go together like a horse and carriage.
This I'll tell you, brother.
Brother?
Can't have one without the other.
So, Too Stupid to Be President was stopped in the airplane hangar over at Heathrow Airport where they're hiding him. And, asked about this ruling by the Massachusetts Supreme Court, and he said, well, you know, marriage is a sacred institution for regular people, and I will work with Congress to defend it. Of course, it's not just Too Stupid to Be President. Don't forget who signed the Defense of Marriage Act a few years back, our good friend Bill Clinton. Rather than having the courage to say to these people, are you out of your minds, and vetoing it, so it's not just Too Stupid to Be President, although he is, in every instance, George Bush is, need I say it, the dumbest man ever to yadda, yadda, yadda. Have I said yet tonight how much? Yeah, I think I have already. So here we are, Massachusetts. A Supreme Court ruling, which will probably be appealed by whom? I mean, how do you... Who was the aggrieved party? The aggrieved party, I think seven gay and lesbian couples, had the ruling come down in their favor. So who appeals this now? Does the governor, Mitt Romney, he of the Mormon faith? Yeah, probably so. Don is calling from Pontiac, Michigan. Hey, Don.
Hey, hello.
How you doing?
There?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, I had you on speakerphone while I was listening, so I wanted to switch it.
Well,
I wanted to comment on the Massachusetts thing.
Sure.
First of all, I'd like to predicate that with the fact that I am gay, and for 15 years I have been contending that the only way gay rights will truly occur in this nation is through marriage.
Well, I would think so, because so much of what passes for the nation's commerce is based on whether or not you can produce a marriage certificate.
Right. Well, it's also the fact that I grew up Catholic, very devout, and I'm over 50. And I can remember on many an occasion, you know, with the church's position on divorce, yet people in my family saying, well, okay, but the church doesn't accept it, but they are legally married.
Right, right.
And so, you know, and politically looking back and seeing, you know, if you heard any of the...
Hey, Don, can I get you to hold on?
Sure.
All right, I want to hear what you got to say, but we have to take a break, all right?
Okay.
We'll come back and pick it up right where we left off. And if you are on hold, please stick around because we want to hear what you got to say about the ruling by the Massachusetts Supreme Court today. Stay with us. In other words, I'm Mike Malloy.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me? You hate me?
I put something on that says he's a great goof liberal.
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
The IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York.
George W. Bush came to the UK with his defense of the Iraq invasion to skeptical Britons, arguing that history proves that war is sometimes necessary when certain values are threatened. Bush arrived for a three-day visit, a trip that promised contrasting pictures of elegant ceremonies at Buckingham Palace and noisy street protests by thousands of anti-war demonstrators. In a speech Wednesday at Whitehall Palace, Bush plans to argue that war is the correct path when all other means have failed. A copy of the speech reports that Bush will say, "History has shown that there are times when countries must use force to defend the peace and to defend values." But Bush did not plan to define which values he was referring to, nor when exactly it is necessary to go to war. In his first official act as governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger fulfilled his pledge to roll back the state's car tax just minutes after taking office on Monday. The move by Schwarzenegger will deprive the state of $4 billion in annual revenue that it expected from increasing the fee to help ease its budget crisis and immediately widen the state budget deficit, which is already at $10 billion. The order left unclear how the administration plans to make up the lost revenue and how the state will reimburse the cities and counties who depend on revenue from the tax, as well as how the California DMV will implement the rollback. Massachusetts' highest court ruled 4-3 Tuesday that the state's ban on same-sex marriage is unconstitutional and gave lawmakers 180 days to come up with a solution that would allow gay couples to wed. The court did not issue marriage licenses to the seven couples who sued and left the details to the legislature. Legal observers say the case took a significant step beyond the 1999 Vermont Supreme Court decision that led to civil unions in that state. More IE America Radio Network news after this.
Hi, I'm Lars Ulrich from Metallica. You know, protecting your hearing may not be something that you're thinking a lot about right now, but take it from me that after a few years of being exposed to loud music and other such things, that hearing loss and a constant ringing in your ears have become a problem for me and could also become a problem for you. If you want more information about this, call the Hear Hotline. The number is 415-773-9590.
George W. Bush will come toppling to earth in giant effigy form on Thursday in a symbolic simulation of the destruction by U.S. troops of a huge statue of Saddam Hussein in Baghdad in April. Anti-war protesters, opposed to the U.S.-led war in Iraq and its aftermath, are busy constructing the 18-foot-tall statue of Bush and will haul down the effigy in Trafalgar Square in central London with the help of a pink tank. Bush arrives for a three-day state visit today, and tens of thousands of anti-war activists are expected to demonstrate in central London on Thursday. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
You don't want to miss the first pitch of the playoffs for the second year in a row, so you're probably scrambling for dinner. Hey, think fast. Think eggs, like an omelet with mushrooms, cheese, and tomatoes, or anything else you like. Omelets are delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes, so you get to the game on time, see the first pitch, your team sweeps the playoffs, and goes on to win the championship. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast. Think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
Let me tell you a story of progressive progress. In 1939, two-thirds of America's senior citizens lived their golden years in cold, hard poverty. Just a decade later, that percentage was down to half. By 1959, it was only one-third, and today the number is less than 10%. That's progress. What's progressive about it is that this decline in poverty is the result of the New Deal's passage of our nation's landmark Social Security program. Yes, the very same program now under attack by Wall Street wolves and congressional opportunists of both parties who insist that Social Security is doomed to failure and facing an imminent financial crisis. Horse duties. First, this is a program that actually works, providing the modicum of income so our gray-haired citizens have a basic level of decent living when their earning years are over. Second, Social Security is a model of efficiency, requiring only a single percent in administrative costs. Compare that to the insurance corporations that suck out one-third of our health care dollars to pay for their corporate bureaucracies, executive salaries, marble palaces, and advertising. But no, cry the chicken littlers, Social Security is going broke. Hogwash. Without changing anything, Social Security is financially sound for the next 40 years. Name me a corporation that can claim that. Yet the Bushites, on behalf of Wall Street finaglers, seek to privatize this public treasure, pushing people to put their Social Security nest egg into the stock market. Hello. These are the same investment geniuses who only 3 years ago would have advised you to invest in Enron, a stock that fell from $97 a share to 57 cents in only 1 year. This is Jim Hightower saying, I say no one should be allowed to reform Social Security unless they actually need it.
Hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, I was expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I
want to
see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see.
Welcome back, 7 past the hour. So what we're talking about here is a ruling today by the Massachusetts Supreme Court, a 4-3 ruling, that said the state of Massachusetts may not deny the protections, benefits, and obligations conferred by civil marriage to two individuals of the same sex who wish to marry. Depending on your point of view, this either opens the gates of hell into a yawning, heat-emitting abyss, or sets the stage for a common-sense acceptance of the legal privileges and obligations that should go to people who form a civil union, a marriage, whatever you want to call it, regardless of their gender or their sexual orientation. Now, we're talking with Don in Pontiac, Michigan about this. And, Don, you were talking about you're over the age of 50, you're a gay man and Catholic. Boy, that's just pure hell there, isn't
it? Well, I was raised Catholic.
Oh,
I spent several years in the seminary, but I no longer adhere to the tenets of the Church of Rome.
Okay, I gotcha.
But what I'm saying, though, is that from my own history, I have sisters that have divorced and remarried.
Yeah.
And, you know, my mother, no way would she allow them, if they were just living together, to spend the night in her house.
Right.
But, and canonically speaking, their marriage is null and void, even because it's a second marriage without an annulment.
Right.
But she allowed them, you know, because, well, they're legally married. And I think that if you look at, you know, just Abby Stevenson running for president and, you know, as a divorced man, and then we turn around and look at what we had in 76 with Mrs. Ford and Mr. and Mrs. Rockefeller and their history.
Right, right.
Or Ronald Reagan.
Right.
And, of course, the three major sponsors of the Defense of Marriage Act of 1996, between them they have 7 marriages.
Oh, sure. The hypocrisy is monumental.
But I think the ruling where all my... And I am absolutely convinced that what will bring gay rights truly home to American gay citizens is marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this particular ruling at this particular time is probably better than sex for Karl Rove.
I think so, too. It gives him more ammunition about how it's necessary to defend against the onslaught of liberals and queers.
Especially with the 6-month hold. Now, everything I've heard today, everything I've read, And I mean, actually, the reason I'm listening to you is because I'm gay. I bought Sirius Radio for OutQ and then found you.
Well, bless your
which
heart.
Which is the gay channel on Sirius Radio.
Yeah, they've got 180 days in the state to come up with a solution for this, right?
But, well, actually, though, the 180 days, those licenses, according to what everybody has been saying today, will be issued no matter what the legislature does.
Mm-hmm.
But what that 180 days is, I think, going to happen, is I would not be surprised to see, prior to the Thanksgiving recess, the House of Representatives report out of committee and pass a constitutional amendment. We already have over 100 co-sponsors for this legislation. I wouldn't be surprised to see Bush come back and call the Senate back into session to do the same thing. People think that constitutional amendments take forever. Are you aware of the time frame for the 21st Amendment, the repeal of prohibition?
No.
87 days.
Is that all
it
takes?
From the time it was first proposed until the last state ratified it to put it in effect.
Okay, I don't know if this is a valid argument, but that was an amendment to repeal an amendment. This would be an amendment that will be the first time in this nation's history that an amendment is passed that restricts civil rights.
But you see, you're an intelligent man. You're looking at this from an intelligent level instead of the emotional level that the right wing is going to put through as the fact that gay marriage is going to destroy straight marriage.
But what I'm saying is, regardless of one's feelings about the rightness or not rightness of homosexual marriage, still, surely, people who may be on the fence on this will see this as an assault on civil rights. I think that when
push comes to shove, I think that Dale Cody, for example, a congressman from Michigan who has a very liberal record, but who voted for defense of marriage, will still not put himself into the situation of running for reelection with an opponent who says he's for gay marriage.
I
think that this is going to be the cash cow for the right wing, and they're going to paint the Democrat, anybody who votes against it. I mean, come on, look at the Senate, the liberal Democrats that voted, and the liberal Democrat president who signed the Defense of Marriage Act, which was another 90-day act, by
the way. Well, I would argue with you that Clinton was not a liberal Democrat.
But I mean, the supposed, great gay rights president,
I understand,
et cetera.
I understand.
And I think that once this comes to a vote, I mean, did you hear what the Fabulous Five said today?
I did not.
Of the 9 candidates running for president, you got 3 who are in favor of gay marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Kucinich, Sharpton, and
Mosley Braun. Right.
You have 5 who say they're opposed to gay marriage but are in favor of civil unions. And then you have Senator Lieberman who wants to amend every one of the 1,300 acts one by one. So the 5 and Lieberman, one of them, basically criticized this ruling.
Right.
And I really would not be surprised, especially with the 180-day wait, see a constitutional amendment put out to the states and governors calling state legislatures into special sessions to pass this. Even if it doesn't happen, it hurts people. It'll hurt the Democrats.
Well, that's,
this will be the cash cow. This is going to be what Bush is going to attempt to finally win the White House legally.
Yeah. Well, it'll be. You raise an interesting point, Don. I'm glad you brought it up. Thanks for checking in.
Okay.
All right, sir. Appreciate it. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if Don's prediction, and I don't doubt for a second that these right-wing thugs will attempt to do just that. Now, during the break, I got a couple of emails from people who say things like, well, Mike, I'm a Christian. I try to follow the teachings of Christ. I understand Christ is about love. But, no matter how hard I try, I can't get past the fact that homosexuality is a sin. Well, I don't want to get into a spitting contest with you people, but let me just put it this way. If you can produce for me anything that came from Christ's mouth that was a condemnation of homosexuality, please produce it, because you will have done something then that no Sunday school teacher or preacher or even my sainted grandmother, who was a Southern Baptist fundamentalist, has been able to do. Jesus Christ gave 3 or 4 sermons, I believe, in total. And he addressed those issues, starting when he drove the money changers from the temple. He addressed the issues that I'm assuming he felt were critical to the establishment of, in his mind, in his followers' minds, the kingdom of heaven on earth. All right? Did he address the threat of homosexuality? No, he did not. Did he have anything to say about it? As far as I know, no, he did not. Now, maybe he did. Maybe in the Gnostic Gospels or something in the book of Andrew or the book of something else that says, and burn the queers at the stake. But so far, I have seen none of this. In fact, of his 12 disciples, how many do you suppose were homosexual? Two? Three? Four? And the priesthood, the Church of Rome, I know a lot of people will say, well, Mike, that's not, oh, God, don't go there, Malloy. Them aren't real Christians. That's the Antichrist. You show me a priesthood, I don't care what the religion is, but certainly include fundamentalist Protestantism that does not contain within it people who are because of their orientation or their choice. To me, it doesn't make any difference if you're genetically programmed to be a gay or straight. No difference. If it's your choice, what the hell business is it of mine or the state? Now, if you're a moron, if you're a jackass, if you're a fool, whether you're gay or straight and you do not practice safe sex, and you're running around the countryside impregnating each other or killing each other with STDs, then damn you. But that's not what this discussion is about. This discussion is about the civil rights, the human rights of people, regardless of their sexual orientation or their sexual choices. Well, Mike, are you saying that people ought to be able to have sex with children? No. How about dogs? I frankly don't care about dogs, but children, no. We're talking about adults here. Okay, please, so don't run that one past me. Please don't send me an email about that. Please, I'm begging you, all right? Maddie Joan is calling from Brooklyn, our bureau chief there. Hey, Maddie.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing. How about you?
Well, I'm doing all right. You know, this whole Massachusetts thing's kind of bittersweet for me.
Well, I like what our caller from Pontiac just had to say. It is going to be a fundraising tool for the Flying Monkey Right.
Yeah, it'll be a fundraising tool. The reason it's bittersweet for me, of course, is it was about this time last year that my partner of 12 years died.
I'm sorry.
You know, and that was in Massachusetts. And I don't know if you recall the story, but I had to spend 2 weeks of, you know, wrangling with the state of Massachusetts for the body.
Oh, my God.
Let alone anything else. You know, I had to go to the lengths of, you know, getting one of my friends who's like a quote-unquote real girl.
Yeah.
To pose as, you know, my partner's fiancé.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, you know... First of all, the fact that we were both women doesn't matter. The state considered us both men, so I don't even want to go there.
Right, right. I'll bet you just wrung them out like wet towels.
Yeah, they just loved me.
I'll bet they did, Maddie.
So, here's the thing. While I can see what the last caller was saying, the problem that Bush and his flunkies are going to be facing if they try and pass an amendment, and this is something people don't really know about, there is no federal definition of what is a man and what is a woman. When Clinton signed the Defense of Marriage Act, it was meaningless.
That's an interesting point. I hadn't thought of that.
Find somebody in the law profession to call in. I dare anybody in the law profession to call in and tell me what the legal definition is of man
mm-hmm.
or woman on a federal level.
Mm-hmm.
There are definitions by a state. But there is no federal definition. So how are you going to pass an amendment? They will have to define it. And
yeah.
They don't want to because it opens up an entire can of worms that nobody wants to open up.
But these people are so weird, these right-wingers, that they just might do it, Maddie Jones.
Well, they might do it, but it can't hold up. Because what are they going to define? They can't define it along chromosome levels.
Yeah.
Because they certainly can't. Intersex people.
Can't do it.
2001 births, intersex people. I'm one of them. So.
Hey, hold on a second, Maddie Joan. I got to take a break here. Hold on. We'll come back and wrap this up. But I got to make way for a quick break here.
Sick man looking for the doctor's cure. Looking at hands for the lines that were. And the devil masterpiece.
of literature for dignity.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
There are over 200 laxatives on the market today, and the one doctors recommend most is Colace Stool Softener Laxatives. That's because over the years, doctors have learned stimulant-free Colace capsules provide comfortable relief their patients can rely on. If you suffer from occasional bouts of constipation, try Colace capsules. If you do, we're sure we'll receive another important endorsement. Yours. For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, and you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
This is Mike Malloy with the IE America Radio Network. Want to know more about our talk shows and personalities but don't know where to look? Do you want to find out what guests are scheduled or what topics we'll be discussing on our programs? Would you like to participate in live chat or vote in interactive polls? All this and more is available at the IE America Radio website. Bookmark it, stop surfing, and get active. Visit www.ieamericaradio.com today.
This is Dave.
Hey there.
Dave has a problem.
Maybe you have the problem understanding that we can be under attack at any time.
Dave suffers from TMRWM, otherwise known as too much or right wing amidiotis, or something like that.
The alarm's at orange now. What does that mean? Where's my chart?
But Dave's not alone.
Another Saddam tape. He's still alive.
There are millions of Americans all over the United States suffering from TMRWM.
Oh, there's weapons of mass destruction there. Somewhere. They'll find them.
Symptoms of TMRWM include insomnia, irritability, suspecting more than three people a day of being a terrorist.
That guy right there looks like one. So does this kid. You're not fooling me, buddy.
And much, much more. But there is a cure.
There is?
You can get the best in progressive talk radio weekdays on the only progressive talk radio network there is, IE America Radio Network. Get more information at ieamericaradio.com. Let's save our country one American at a time.
Thank you, IE America.
Let go of me, Dave.
Sorry.
This is Mike Malloy with the IE America Radio Network. Want to know more about our talk shows and personalities but don't know where to look? Do you want to find out what guests are scheduled or what topics we'll be discussing on our programs? Would you like to participate in live chat or vote in interactive polls? All this and more is available at the IE America Radio website. Bookmark it, stop surfing, and get active. Visit www.ieamericaradio.com today.
Listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. We're talking about the Massachusetts Supreme Court ruling today, which appears to open the door, at least in that state, to gay marriage. We're talking with Maddie Joan, our Brooklyn, New York Bureau Chief. Where were we?
Okay, we were talking about how you can't define man and woman on a federal level.
Okay.
And the reasons are, one, you can't do it chromosomally. There are literally tens and thousands of, maybe hundreds and thousands of women born every year who are chromosomally XY. So that doesn't fly. Do you deny them marriage?
Mm-hmm.
Do you deny marriage based on non-procreation? You can't do that because not everybody can have babies.
Right.
Do you deny marriage based on genitalia? No, you can't do that. Do you rescind a marriage then from a man who has penile cancer?
Right, right.
You know, mm-hmm. So.
Well, that's a very interesting point.
It can't be done.
It'll be fun to watch these right-wing thugs turn themselves into contortions.
Well, I don't think they know the can of worms they're opening up here.
Yeah.
And the medical community, you know, we talk a lot about the war industry, but the medical industry has a lot of money tied up in sexual polarity.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that gender has been pretty much proved by science to be a spectrum rather than a polarity,
right,
just flies over the heads of most doctors, you know, because they deny the existence of intersexuality.
Mm-hmm.
A book by Anne Fausto Sterling, I forget the title, posits that there are, in fact, five genders, but I don't want to take up your airtime with that, but I do recommend that as a read to your listeners.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to leave you with one parting notion on this whole thing.
All right.
I get really emotional on this, so you'll have to excuse me.
Well, I understand.
Homosexuality, you know, a lot of people in this country, fundamentalists and whatnot, say, well, this country was founded on no homos.
Right.
You know, homosexuality as a thing in and of itself has only existed since 1890. Now, I'm not saying that same-sex love hasn't existed, but homosexuality as a defined concept,
mm-hmm,
has only been around since 1890. That's less than half the history of this country.
Right.
Prior
to that, there was no need for a definition.
No, nobody cared.
Right, I understand.
Sodomy was illegal, but for a variety of reasons, one of which included prostitution.
Right.
So, you know, and sodomy has been overturned in this country. There is absolutely no reason to hang up gay marriage.
That's absolutely true. Maddie Joan, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. Appreciate you checking in on the issue. I have to confess, it is a very emotional issue to me, this whole civil rights issue around homosexuality. For some reason, and I don't understand, do not understand, and don't question it. As far as I know, there are 11 of us cousins, and there were five aunts and uncles, and yada yada yada. As far as I know, nobody in my extended family happened to be gay, men or women. None of the cousins, even the second cousins that I'm aware of. Now I don't know. We have a huge. You know, when it gets down to the second and third generation, you start with grandma and grandpa, and they have five kids, and then they have they turn around and have 12 or 14, and then, you know, the grandkids start having kids. You know, it becomes quite a crowd. So I'm not sure. But as a kid growing up, and even into young adulthood, there were no homosexual people, men or women, in my family. However. From a very early age, I understood, after I got past the gay bashing, that most boys growing up in Toledo, Ohio, and probably the rest of the United States, went through as a rite of passage. After I got past the gay bashing stage and started to understand that I had friends who happened to be gay, it kind of opened my eyes to bigotry, just like having friends who were back in the day, we called them colored friends, you know, African-American friends, opened my eyes to that. I got a few more things to say about this right after the break. Stick around.
That you come on, people, now smile on your brother, everybody get together.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A disease that kills deer proves to be remarkably persistent. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Deer and elk across North America are vulnerable to a wildlife disease that slowly destroys their nervous systems and ultimately their brains. It's caused by an unusual and very tough molecule, and wildlife experts are working hard to stop it. The ailment is CWD, chronic wasting disease. It's been seen for many years in some western states, but last year it showed up east of the Mississippi River in Wisconsin. It was the first time CWD appeared in a landscape with dense concentrations of white-tailed deer. People are taking it seriously because of the risk it might start spreading more rapidly. Mike Samuel is an ecologist who works in the Wildlife Research Unit of the University of Wisconsin in Madison. He's working with state and federal authorities to find options for dealing with chronic wasting disease.
We can look at places where the disease has been for a long time, like Colorado and Wyoming, and we can sort of see what happens if you don't succeed in controlling the disease, which is eventually it just begins to spread to larger and larger portions of the state.
Samuel says the density of herds in Colorado and Wyoming is as low as 5 animals per square mile, and yet the disease persists. That might mean that the only way to stop the spread of CWD in infected areas is to lower the numbers of deer to a point that verges on eradication.
I know nobody wants to say that zero is a good thing, but the evidence is we probably have to get pretty close to zero before naturally this disease is going to burn itself out.
In Wisconsin, there are as many as 50 deer per square mile. Samuel says the CWD hot zone in this crowded landscape has become one of the front lines for research on this wildlife disease. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Blood-Sucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. What I was trying to get to there, we're talking, by the way, about the decision by the Massachusetts Supreme Court, the ruling today of 4-3, that essentially opens the door for same-sex marriage in that state on an equal protection basis. You cannot have laws. You just can't. I don't care how many of these supposed Christian right-wing fundamentalist freaks wants to scream about it and talk about the Bible and Leviticus and so on and so forth. And again, the challenge to you right-wing lurkers out there who use Christ as a battering ram rather than using his teachings as a method of love and understanding, if you can produce for me anything in the Bible anywhere where Jesus condemned homosexuals, please do so. Again, of his 12 disciples, probably 3 or 4 of them were gay anyway. But That's what we're talking about, that ruling by Massachusetts Supreme Court. And we're going to wrap it up here fairly quickly. But the issue took on an extra dimension for me, a personal dimension, when the gay Holocaust, and I mean no disrespect to what is labeled the capital H Holocaust that occurred in thanks to the Nazis during World War II, but the AIDS crisis, Holocaust, that hit this country in the late 70s and through the 80s,
frankly, I lost a lot of friends. Now, I'm not weeping and wailing over that. These were friends. These were people I knew. The loss to their lovers and family was felt on a much deeper level than the loss was felt by me. I acknowledge that. It was terrifying, though. It was sad. There was a period in the late 80s and in the early 90s where it seemed like every weekend there was another funeral of folks that I knew, that that I cared about and respected and admired and worked with, or just friends, you know, just people to hang out with. And to watch this slaughter that occurred in this country, and to hear the condemnation heaped on sick people, physically sick people, by religious right wingers, it was disgusting. What few shreds I had left of an attempt to form some sort of belief based on Christian religious values were blown into a million pieces during that period of time. When I heard everybody from Billy Graham to street preachers condemning homosexuals, just unzipping their pants and urinating all over people who were dying hideous deaths, and these deaths were hideous. And it was deeply felt by me and other people, other non-homosexual people. I had a lot of women friends and a lot of straight men friends who just week after week after week going to these funerals. People in the prime of their life, prime of their careers, dying. Why? Because they had sex. For God's sake, because they had sex. Because they had unprotected sex. And we used to sit around, the heteros would sit around and talk about, Jesus, you know, if we were to die on the same ratio, because heterosexuals, as a direct result of our unprotected sex. You understand what I'm saying? But to see the bigotry and the hatred heaped on people, I had, at one time I had two friends for whom I was providing reefer so they could get through their treatments, their chemo and the wasting disease, trying to desperately to activate some appetite, and it was awful. It was heart-wrenching to see these young men die, you know, one after another, in their 20s and 30s and 40s, some of them in their 40s. It was just, and to add to the sadness and the horror of all of that back in the 80s and 90s was this constant drumbeat of bigotry and the kind of murderous prejudice that to me was just unforgivable. And it all came from the right wing. None of it came from liberals. It all came from these filthy, creepy conservatives. How many Americans died? 70, 80,000 before the word HIV or AIDS slipped past these putrefying lips of Ronald Reagan. It was awful. It was horrible. So, yeah, am I emotionally tied into this issue? Yeah, I sure am. I sure am. So when I see victories like the one handed to gay people today by the Massachusetts Supreme Court, or when I know that two provinces in Canada and I think, is it Belgium or a couple of European countries acknowledge same-sex unions now, I applaud that. I in my little personal private quiet internal way, I celebrate those victories because it makes me think that, you know, the people who that I knew and cared about and in some cases loved who died as a result of prejudice and bigotry and being forced to hide their sexual orientation, to keep it quiet, keep it in the back rooms, in the back streets, in the park paths and the bathhouses, you know, don't walk down the street holding hands. Don't kiss your lover if it's a same-sex lover on a Sunday stroll in Piedmont Park here in Atlanta or wherever. That forced invisibility. And it just, I don't know. That's all. That's all. We're at 800 Talk, yes. John is calling from Philadelphia. John, welcome to the program.
Oh, hang on, let me get...
Sure.
All right, hope I pressed the right button.
I think you did.
You got me. Yeah, I'm going to blow you away. I'm a Roman Catholic. I'm an Irish Roman Catholic.
Okay.
But I'm also Greek.
Okay.
And, I mean, imagine trying to live life like that.
Right? I know. It must be quite a challenge.
Jesus, nobody likes me. I'm an American. My European friends think I'm nuts.
Right.
The Democrats blame me for losing the election. Well, anyway.
Right.
I'm gonna hip shoot this. My Roman Catholicism, my education in Roman Catholicism is pretty deep. I had not only had nuns in grammar school, but I had Jesuits for 4 years in high school and another 4 years in college.
Well, you were well educated.
Yeah, I've got a pretty strong background.
Yeah.
But the reason I'm calling is I see no real theological impediment to same-sex marriage.
And nor do I, unless you go back to ancient Judaic law, Mosaic law.
And then you go outside, and then you're no longer arguing on the basis of Christian morality. I'm not saying that there haven't been cultures or societies in the past that have come down upon this horrible sin.
Right.
But here in the 21st century, if we're going to examine it from a theological point of view, if we can't really find anything hard in Scripture about it, which is not, by the way, any criteria for something that is theologically valid,
right.
Especially because not only Catholics, but many people look at marriage as a sacrament, namely some kind of an outward sign of the presence of the mystical presence of Jesus doing something cool for us,
right?
Getting us together in a really unique way. Certainly, the Episcopalians have shown this by ordaining priests,
right?
And their theology is not so very far away from Roman Catholic theology.
Mm-hmm.
So there's what you ultimately have to do is look at something questionable. You got a question? What are we going to do about this? Is it theologically unobjectionable? Well, you look at what its possible results are. Are there any damages that this could cause to society? Are there any damages that this is going to cause to the human race?
Mm-hmm.
And if you end up with the conclusion, no, this doesn't hurt anybody. In fact, it promotes human love. It promotes the development of alternative families. It helps build people who might have otherwise been ostracized from society.
It stabilizes communities.
Absolutely. And this, any good Catholic will tell you, this is the nuts and bolts of what Catholicism ought to be about, namely promoting a kind of a unity with God through the fellowship of humanity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And any other argument is bogus. I mean, they're bullshit arguments. I mean, I know you don't believe in God, and that's cool. But for those of us who do, there's no reason to get bent out of shape and worried that this is going to somehow cause the a premature second coming. You know?
Yeah, so to speak. Yeah, John, thank you. I appreciate your insight.
Take care, Mike. Good
All right, sir.
To
you. You too. Yeah, my father was raised, not raised, but educated by Jesuits. So you get a good education from them. I've often wondered, you know, I understand what Leviticus says, and all this Leviticus also says that, you know, you should kill your children and beat your ass, your animal, and, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff. You know, if you wear clothing made of different fibers, you're condemned to have your head lopped off or something. So, you know, to me, it's just nonsense. It has to do with a certain period of time, ancient history with an ancient people wandering around the desert. You know, don't mix meat and milk. Yeah, well, of course not, because you'll probably die of food poisoning or something because they didn't have refrigerators. But I've often wondered if marriage, and I understand what our last caller was talking about, marriage is a Christian sacrament. Well, it's a sacrament in a lot of faiths, but you know, where was God where it concerned Adam and Eve in terms of marriage?
Well, Mike, you're getting funky on us now. Don't go back to Adam and Eve. You know, that's they came out of the same body. That's marriage right there.
But you understand what I'm saying. To me, it's just laughable. All of it is laughable. except for the fact that it's also punishing and cruel and inhumane and bigoted and destroys whatever or attempts to destroy. I don't believe you can destroy the love that was talked about by Jesus Christ, or the equality that was talked about by Martin Luther King, or the social justice that was talked about by Gandhi. You can't destroy those. You can deny them. You can say they don't exist. You can try to legislate against those concepts, but you can't destroy them. Have we had enough of this topic? I think so. I think so. Have you got play me some kind of little bridge music here. Just anything. Throw something in there, Kathy. There we go, yeah. For me, just something to get out of that topic.
You came along and completed my life.
Oh, God.
I saw Jesus.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Kathy. Yeah, that's great. Last night I threatened you all with telling you what happened about my trip to Kathy and my trip to Charlotte over the weekend. We went up to Charlotte, North Carolina for a couple of days for the Southern Christmas, what's it called? Southern Christmas show the Charlotte Merchandise Mart. That's right. Now, I have a bunch of cousins, but my cousin Roger is a sculptor and a painter, and he had a booth at the Southern Christmas show. So we went up to see Roger and his lovely wife, Sharon, and she has a twin sister, Karen, who lives in Charlotte with her boyfriend, Jeff. And that's just one little clutch of cousins. But we, you know, Roger said, "Come on up." So we went up and got a motel room, and we spent essentially Saturday and Sunday cruising around the, and then came back Monday cruising around the Christmas show, the Southern Christmas show. Now this thing has been in existence for 38 years. I guess I've heard of it. Hell, I lived in Raleigh in 1970, and lived in Raleigh in 67 too. If it's been around for 38 years, it was started in 1965, back at a time when Charlotte, North Carolina was not an integrated city at all, where a Christmas show at whatever, the Civic Center or whatever it was called back then. I'm sure there was no merchandise mart. The building we were in, the huge, huge building, I'm sure was not built 38 years ago. But I'm also reasonably sure that it was a whites-only affair. Charlotte being a southern city, and the year being 1965. Well, that's changed now, of course, obviously. So I'll tell you, I have never in my life walked so far inside these huge exhibit halls, seeing only stuff related to Christmas with a decided Christian flavor. Now, a lot of people talk about how merchandising in this country, Walmart and Kmart and the shopping centers, and you know, they've destroyed what Christmas really is. It's all about buy, 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 so that the companies can make their fourth quarter profits and yada, 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 and get this and get that, and right? It's just horrible. It's awful, awful. Christmas ought to, you know, if Christians are going to celebrate the birth of Christ, then maybe they should move it. In the first place, he was never born on December 25th anyway. Why don't they move it into June, or May or June, when historians say he was actually born, and celebrate it as a religious holiday instead of what this horrible, horrible event called American Christmas has become, this merchandising...
hey, conservatives, don't be
hemorrhaging. I don't know where that came from. But Christians won't do that. They bitch and moan and complain, and so do I, about the commercialization of Christmas. Well, at the Merchandise Mart in Charlotte, it is not, on the one hand, is not as commercialized as what you see at the malls. It is about buying stuff for Christmas. But this is like 6 weeks before the big day, and these are people who are really committed to keeping Christ in Christmas, even though they're there to buy stuff. Now, I want to tell you a little bit more about it when we come back. Stay with us.
A wonderful Christmas time.
Oh, you're not. You're not.
A wonderful Christmas time. The party's on. The feeling's here. That only comes this time of year.
Irritating it can be, which is
why you want to feel really fast. I mean, the instant maximum strength Mylanta liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. Mylanta's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try maximum strength Mylanta.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
When Ann and Mike began looking for their dream home, someone else was there to help make it a reality. While Ann took virtual tours on Realtor.com, someone was there to check comparable listings. While Mike was searching for their homeowner's policy, someone was there to preview houses as they came on the market. And when Ann and Mike found their dream, someone else was there to make sure it didn't slip away. When you're ready to buy a home, work with someone who'll work with you. We're Realtors. Real estate is our life. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long, itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra, and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
What does most political talk radio sound like?
Good morning and welcome to my show. I'm fine. Thanks for asking.
A little self-centered.
We're not going to take any calls right now because I want to talk. Remember, the show was at its best when it's more me and less of you.
Not very listener friendly.
We're talking about all the progress we've made in Iraq. Tom and Seattle, you're on the air. Make it quick.
Yeah, I don't really agree with what you said about...
And I don't agree with you calling my show. Let's get it clear, people. If you don't agree with me, then you must be a communist.
A little one-sided.
The fact is that the Dixie Chicks should be sent to Iraq to live in a with Osama. Jeff in California, you're on the air. Make it quick.
I have a comment on how the U.S. has completely forgotten about Osama bin Laden.
No, you don't have a comment, Jeff, but what you do have is the privilege to listen to my show, and you're abusing it, and I am offended.
All around bad radio.
Says you.
But there is an alternative.
What?
You can get the best of progressive talk radio on the only progressive talk radio network there is, IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to IEAmericaRadio.com.
You'll be back.
No, they won't.
Yes, they will.
Get out of here.
Don't touch me.
Show. Bruce Willis was in Iraq. Did you hear about this? He went to Telefar, I believe is the way you pronounce it. He has a band, Accelerator, played some rock and roll, and, you know, there were hundreds of U.S. soldiers there. Anyway, after he did his rock and roll, he took the microphone. He said, we're here to support you, and that's fine. Okay. But then he offered the soldiers listening $1 million out of his own pocket for the capture of Saddam Hussein. And then he said, and if you catch him, just give me 4 seconds with him. Isn't he just a man's man? Huh?
Who are you then? Just another American who thinks he's John Wayne, Rambo.
He's always kind of partial to Roy Rogers, actually.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Radio, only with Mike Malloy.
Oh, yeah. Well, we spent 2 days immersed up to our eyeballs in inside three massive buildings in Charlotte, North Carolina, that were dedicated to Christmas kitsch. And that's what it was. We went up there with an open mind, like, let's go buy some Christmas presents. And what do we get? We got a stick horse for one of my grandchildren. That had nothing really to do with Christmas. And what else did we get, Kathy? We got some coffee that really had nothing to do with Christmas. We got it because it was only $3 a pound. We got some soup mix. We got a cheese ball mix. What? And only because they were giving away free samples. But the stuff, oh, my God. And again, I've made it very clear my lack of religious conviction on this program. But I have to tell you that this was pretty much strictly a Christian event. My cousin Roger subscribes to that faith, as does his wife. And what do you call Roger? A Christian sculptor? I mean, the work that he does it's a Christian iconography that he. He's a graphic artist, and he's a sculptor, and he's a painter, and it's a lot of it is Christian iconography. Roger would have been great in the 12th, 13th century. You know, he would have been a famous artist. Yeah, well, he's almost famous now. And his stuff sells real well. But aside from my cousin Roger, the rest of this place, this huge, massive halls that just went on forever. And Kathy and I, we're physically active. We swim. We do a lot of walking. But walking on these concrete floors and standing and watching demonstrations, there was that too. I love to watch the waterless cookware hustler salesmen. They're still around. Oh God, talk about a dying breed. They were fun to watch. Now that's not Christian or Christmas oriented stuff, unless you want to buy your somebody on your gift list. $1,500 set of water. Is that what it costs? Or more than that? Waterless cookware. But the sounds and the smells and the colors and the Christmas stuff and the Christian stuff. And these are dedicated shoppers. Tour bus coming from all over the South. Cars in the parking lot from probably every state east of the Mississippi. Maybe some west of the Mississippi, too. Now, Robert in Washington, D.C. is on hold. He remembers this. Apparently, what, Roger lived in, Robert lived in Charlotte? Or went, okay, we'll talk with Robert when we come back. If you've ever been to this thing and you want to comment on it, give us a call. If not, well, that's all right. You know, we'll do a little bit of it and move on. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. George W. Bush came to the UK with his defense of the Iraq invasion to skeptical Britons, arguing that history proves that war is sometimes necessary when certain values are threatened. Bush arrived for a three-day visit, a trip that promised contrasting pictures of elegant ceremonies at Buckingham Palace and noisy street protests by thousands of anti-war demonstrators. In a speech Wednesday at Whitehall Palace, Bush plans to argue that war is the correct path when all other means have failed. A copy of the speech reports that Bush will say, "History has shown that there are times when countries must use force to defend the peace and to defend values." But Bush did not plan to define which values he was referring to, nor when exactly it is necessary to go to war. Massachusetts highest court ruled 4-3 Tuesday that the state's ban on same-sex marriage is unconstitutional and gave lawmakers 180 days to come up with a solution that would allow gay couples to wed. The court did not issue marriage licenses to the seven couples who sued and left the details to the legislature. Legal observers say the case took a significant step beyond the 1999 Vermont Supreme Court decision that led to civil unions in that state. An Illinois National Guard soldier who blasted George W. Bush on a local radio talk show Friday may face court-martial for her public comments, according to her husband. He told WNTA talk host Chris Bowman that his wife says she may face a court-martial for comments she made Friday. A correspondent for the Illinois Leader heard Sergeant Jessica Masek's comments on the radio and claimed she said Bush lied about the reasons America's military was in Iraq. The radio station charged that Hale's reporting was inaccurate and biased and that it was posted on an ultra-conservative news source. More IE America Radio Network news after this.
Hi, I'm Lars Ulrich from Metallica. You know, protecting your hearing may not be something that you're thinking a lot about right now, but take it from me that after a few years of being exposed to loud music and other such things, that hearing loss and a constant ringing in your ears have become a problem for me and could also become a problem for you. If you want more information about this, call the Hear Hotline. The number is 415-773-9590.
A man and a payphone were rushed to a hospital after he got his finger stuck in the coin return slot while trying to retrieve his 50 cents. Two passersby tried to help, and when they failed to free him, the man used his other hand to dial 911. Emergency crews and a representative of the company that owns the phone were sent to the scene, but they were also unable to free him. Emergency room doctors gave Emmanuel Fleming a painkiller Monday and pried his middle finger loose using a wooden device and lubricant. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
While Mike was putting up his own for sale sign, someone was helping his neighbors, John and Diane, with plans to sell their home. As Mike spent Saturday figuring out legal agreements and guessing his home's value, someone was preparing a counteroffer so John could help at the school fundraiser. And while Mike and his wife were reevaluating their asking price for the third time, someone was closing the sale on John and Diane's home. Work with someone who will work with you. We're realtors. Real estate is our life.
Let me tell you a story of progressive progress. In 1939, two-thirds of America's senior citizens lived their golden years in cold, hard poverty. Just a decade later, that percentage was down to half. By 1959, it was only one-third, and today the number is less than 10%. That's progress. What's progressive about it is that this decline in poverty is the result of the New Deal's passage of our nation's landmark Social Security program. Yes, the very same program now under attack by Wall Street wolves and congressional opportunists of both parties who insist that Social Security is doomed to failure and facing an imminent financial crisis. Horse duties. First, this is a program that actually works, providing the modicum of income so our gray-haired citizens have a basic level of decent living when their earning years are over. Second, Social Security is a model of efficiency, requiring only a single percent in administrative costs. Compare that to the insurance corporations that suck out one-third of our health care dollars to pay for their corporate bureaucracies, executive salaries, marble palaces, and advertising. But no, cry the chicken littlers, Social Security is going broke. Hogwash. Without changing anything, Social Security is financially sound for the next 40 years. Name me a corporation that can claim that. Yet the Bushites, on behalf of Wall Street finaglers, seek to privatize this public treasure, pushing people to put their Social Security nest egg into the stock market. Hello. These are the same investment geniuses who only 3 years ago would have advised you to invest in Enron, a stock that fell from $97 a share to 57 cents in only 1 year. This is Jim Hightower saying, I say no one should be allowed to reform Social Security unless they actually need it.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Here's Nancy in the background. Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy. On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. So, as I was saying, I visited my cousin Roger at a booth at the over the weekend, this past weekend, at the Southern Christmas Show at the Charlotte Merchandise Mart in Charlotte, North Carolina. And Robert, if I'm not wrong, you've been there, right?
Actually, as a matter of fact, I have, Mike.
Am I exaggerating?
No, not at all. You know, it's interesting coincidence that my relative that lives in Lexington, North Carolina, is named Roger too, and we went down to see him during the Christmas season and went to one of these shows in Raleigh-Durham, and if it wasn't the exact same company, it may as well have been. I mean, I have never been to a larger trade show ever anywhere in any place, and as far as craft events, my goodness.
I know. I have a brother-in-law who has his own construction company in northern Ohio, and when he comes here to Atlanta for the hardware shows or the trade shows, they are massive, but nothing like this Christmas show.
Yeah, the thing that I found most bizarre about the whole thing was that, you know, and maybe I'm kind of old-fashioned, but I feel like, you know, if you have a religion, it was raised in the Christian faith, as you, Weston, that, you know, religion is a very private thing,
right.
And it's, you know, that the proselytizing was a violation of all kinds of principles, but all of the different things that they found to slap Jesus on to was just so bizarre to me. I mean,
you know, that is the truth. I saw more kitschy stuff that was as linked to Jesus Christ as I'm linked to, Ford dealership in Beijing, China. In other words, there's no linkage whatsoever. But here is an attempt to associate or link this merchandise to Jesus Christ. And it was just like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, somehow I don't think that the Jesus swizzle stick is what anybody needs.
No, I don't, don't think so.
And the one that really struck me, and I had to tell people about at home, was I saw some really nice birdhouses that someone was making, and they had Jesus on almost all of them.
Right.
And I thought to myself and told my friends, I said, you know, thank goodness there are people out there who are dedicated to saving us from heathen squirrels.
I know. It was just an amazing thing to see. Now, I certainly appreciate the Christian iconographic kind of art. When we go to museums, Kathy and I, around wherever we go, whether it's Toledo or New York or Chicago, and you know, you go to an art museum, and there's always so much on display that has to do with art from the Middle Ages or the Renaissance that is Christian art that reflects the saints and the sinners. And thank goodness that such a thing existed, because I think that is what kept Western or European Eurocentric art alive. My cousin Roger, whose artwork has he has kind of an Escher flair at times, but he gets involved in Christian iconography, and it's amazing the work that he does. And I have no problem with Roger's stuff, because it's straight ahead Christian art. It'll be the crucifix. It'll be the Last Supper. His rendition, his idea, his interpretation of those sorts of Christian mythological events. And I have respect for that. It's when, like you said, they put Jesus on a swizzle stick that you just kind of stand back and go, is this really, really, really necessary?
Mm-hmm. It's all truly stranger than fiction, but anyone who has a chance to head down there, I highly recommend it.
Oh, absolutely.
It's something that you have to see once.
Absolutely. Robert, thanks for checking in, pal.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, sir, you have a nice evening. Yeah, if you're going, this thing is going on until Sunday coming. And it is worth the $5 to park your car and the $8 to get in. Kathy and I had a pass. But it's truly worth it. And I don't mean that in a cynical way at all. This is Americana. I doubt if this sort of thing exists anywhere else except maybe in... nowhere else. I was trying to think maybe in certain major cities in Germany there might be this sort of Christian... Switzerland, but I don't think so. Not on this scale as this Southern Christmas show, it's called. Whew. It is worth the trip. Marge is calling from Maryville, Indiana. Yes, Marge, welcome to the program.
Hello there.
Hey.
When you mentioned waterless cookware, my ears went up like a bird dog.
Oh, yeah?
My mother bought a set of that when I was 10 years old.
And it still works.
And it's, oh, by God, it still does.
Oh, Revereware. It's Revereware, right?
I don't. It's steel coal. I don't. It's stainless steel, all I know. Heavy duty.
Yeah.
And that's what I learned to cook on. I mean, you could put a pot roast in there and sear it on both sides.
Right.
Put the lid on top and swirl it around, and it creates a seal.
Right.
And you're cooking it in its own juices. I never used Crisco or... oil or anything. The only time I put butter in a pan was when I was frying an egg.
Yeah. Well, you know, the pitch man that was selling this stuff made reference. As a matter of fact, he had a set of waterless cookware from when it first came out, which I guess was in the 50s at some point.
40s.
Was it 40s?
Yeah.
He had a set from the 50s that was still operational. And you know, there were older people in the little crowd. You know how every hour and a half they give the demonstration and they'll have 10 folding chairs set up so people can sit and watch and marvel at this stuff.
I'll tell you how good it is.
Yeah.
God.
What?
I don't know whether it was pork chops or something my mother had put on the stove and was cooking, and turned the gas down real low, because that's one of the things, the secrets with that. You know, you sear the meat, and you get it hot, and then you put the lid on, and you turn the gas down low and let it, like, simmer, I guess would be the word.
Cooking with Mike and Marge.
But anyhow, we forgot about it.
Yeah.
And we went out and went to the movies.
Yeah.
And we came back, and the house was full of smoke.
Uh-oh.
And that skillet was coated with the nice thick crust of carbon.
Yeah.
We had to soak it for a while, but by God, we cleaned it up, and we're still using this. I'm still using the skillet.
I'll be darned.
That stuff is pretty good.
Yes, it is.
And I kind of think I'm a fairly decent cook.
Well, Marge, we appreciate the testimonial.
I just had never heard of anybody talk about it.
Waterless cookware, huh? It's still out there. It's still out there. You can still get it. You can go to Sears and pick up a set of this stuff for under $1,000, probably.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's expensive as hell.
I guarantee you my mother didn't pay that much in 1940.
Probably in equivalent dollars, it was probably about that. This stuff has never been cheap, Marge. Never.
But once you buy a set, you know, you're set for life.
That's it. Thanks, Marge. Appreciate you checking in.
You're welcome.
All right, take care. Cooking with Mike and Marge. Okay, let's talk about Bush. He's off to see the Queen. I was very intrigued yesterday. This story came out yesterday in the afternoon. With all of the, four times the original amount of police and security, Brit police and security, have been called to active duty to protect George Bush. Unbelievable. What is it, like 12,000 or 14,000? It's just an unbelievable. London has become a city practically under siege. With the helicopters and the planes and the guided missiles and the tanks and the armored vehicles and Bush and his five chefs and the food tasters and the Gatling guns and all of this stuff. Well, guess what? One lone anti-war protester, a woman in her early 60s, got past all that security on Monday, scaled the gates of Buckingham Palace. She climbed up this 6-meter-high wrought iron gates in front of the palace, and she was wearing a fluorescent jacket. And then she unfurled an upside-down U.S. flag with the inscription, "Elizabeth Windsor and Company, he's not welcome." Police said the woman began her protest just after 4 p.m. on Monday. And when this story was reported by Reuters news agency, they were still trying to talk her down. Obviously, she came down, and then I heard her interviewed. Didn't I hear her interviewed, Kathy, on NPR this afternoon? She talked for a moment, anyway. A police spokesman declined to comment on whether the woman's protest had breached security. What? Climbing the wall at Westminster Abbey is not a breach of security? Unfurling? Oh, never mind. I just thought it was kind of a funny story. And then there's this. Operation Iron Hammer is this week launched in Iraq by the U.S. Army's 1st Armored Division's 3rd Brigade. Operation Iron Hammer is a response to the Iraqis deciding that they don't like Americans and are trying to kill as many of us as they possibly can to get us out of their country. So we are responding with Operation Iron Hammer. Turns out that code name for the crackdown on resistance in Iraq was also used by the Nazis for an operation to damage the Soviet power grid during World War II. Eisenhammer is what it was called in German. It was a Luftwaffe code name for a plan to destroy Soviet generating plants in the cities of Moscow and Gorky in 1943. A Pentagon official said he was unaware of any connection to any Nazi operation. Isn't it amazing how this stuff just kind of keeps happening? These connections or allusions to Nazism or direct connections to the Bush crime family. Eisenhammer. What else do we have here? At some point, was it last week when Fox News went on the air with their mouth breathers and talked and said there was a confirmation of contacts between Al-Qaeda and Iraq, that the confirmation came from the Senate Intelligence Committee, and Fox News Channel went on the air with this stuff and said, see, here it is, here it is. Well, guess what? You already know this, I'm sure, because this came out on over the weekend or Monday. From the Department of Defense, an official statement, news reports that the Defense Department recently confirmed new information with respect to contacts between al-Qaeda and Iraq in a letter to the Senate Intelligence Committee are inaccurate. In other words, what the Department of Defense is saying is the reports on Fox News, and they were the only ones who carried it, were lies. And beyond lies, the individuals who leak or purport to leak classified information are doing serious harm to national security, says the Department of Defense, and such activity may be illegal. I'd like to see them swoop down on Fox News Channel and arrest every one of the bastards, wouldn't you?
On the line, and the liberal with a small L cries in front of the TV, and another demonstration passes on to history.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol is lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
What do you think I like about communing with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? Yeah, you're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Show. Welcome back. This is Tom Hartman. I'm calling for a return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy that this country was founded on, when corporations had to answer to the people and couldn't buy off politicians, where fair play wasn't a code phrase for the rich getting more and working and middle management people getting less, where there was a social contract that people's basic needs would be taken care of, because that's what we do in a community, in a nation that was founded on justice and fairness, not on materialism and greed. Where people could work to get ahead, but at the same time, we don't leave people starving in the streets. The eternal question of this program is, are we advancing democracy or are we advancing corporatism?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing
kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
Oh.
the American way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
24 past the hour, so Bush is in the UK. On Friday last, the British polling firm YouGov, Y-O-U-G-O-V, provided Newsweek, a magazine, with survey data gathered in recent days about Bush's visit. It doesn't make pretty reading for Bush fans, by any means. By big majorities, according to the Newsweek information here, Britons believe Bush is, quote, not very intelligent, end quote. That's 62% believe he's not very intelligent. 53% believe he's insincere. 62% believe he's not very well informed about the world. 82% believe Bush does not care much about the views of people in other countries. 65% believe Bush is a bad advertisement for America. And 63% of the people surveyed believe he is foolish. Foolish and insincere. Now, these attitudes uncovered by the polling firm seem to have more to do, obviously, with anti-Bush sentiment than with anti-Americanism. The survey went on to ask how much confidence people had in the ability of the United States to act responsibly in its role as the world's sole superpower. 57% of the Britons surveyed said not much, or none at all. However, when asked if the United States would behave more responsibly under a different president, a plurality of 42% said they thought that would be the case. He's a disaster. I just can't imagine a worse front man for the United States of capitalism than George Bush. Is there any place in the world where he is welcomed? What is intriguing to me is when he goes to white English-speaking countries, they boo him off the stage. They are required to provide massive amounts of security, unprecedented in their national histories. Bush could never do what Bill Clinton did in terms of traveling around the globe. Bush is a hated, feared man, and rightly so. He is a bully and a coward. And I swear to God, if there's a combination more lethal, whether you're in fourth grade on a elementary school playground or the government of a country that George Bush decides to come to and take your assets, is there a more frightening individual than a willfully ignorant, cowardly bully? I can't think of one. I think Bush is in the same category as Hitler, as Stalin, as Mao Zedong, as Kissinger, as Batista. Just goes on and on. Somoza, how many do you want? Shah of Iran, how many of these do you want? Ferdinand Marcos, Botha of South Africa, they're all the same. They are ignorant, vicious, hate-filled men. So here's George Bush in the motherland, so to speak, for, the country against whom, I should say the fatherland. You always rebel against your father. We rebelled against the Brits, right? Of course we did. And there he is. And they just wish he would go home. He says he's going to meet with the families, family members of dead British servicemen. But the British press is reporting on family members not invited. One, Reg Keyes, whose son Thomas was killed in Iraq, was not on the list, according to Reuters news agency. The father said, "I'd love to meet him, but I'd refuse his hand. I can't shake that hand. It's stained with the blood of my son."
Thank you.
thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A disease that kills deer proves to be remarkably persistent. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Deer and elk across North America are vulnerable to a wildlife disease that slowly destroys their nervous systems and ultimately their brains. It's caused by an unusual and very tough molecule, and wildlife experts are working hard to stop it. The ailment is CWD, chronic wasting disease. It's been seen for many years in some western states, but last year it showed up east of the Mississippi River in Wisconsin. It was the first time CWD appeared in a landscape with dense concentrations of white-tailed deer. People are taking it seriously because of the risk it might start spreading more rapidly. Mike Samuel is an ecologist who works in the Wildlife Research Unit of the University of Wisconsin in Madison. He's working with state and federal authorities to find options for dealing with chronic wasting disease.
We can look at places where the disease has been for a long time, like Colorado and Wyoming, and we can sort of see what happens if you don't succeed in controlling the disease, which is eventually it just begins to spread to larger and larger portions of the state.
Samuel says the density of herds in Colorado and Wyoming is as low as 5 animals per square mile, and yet the disease persists. That might mean that the only way to stop the spread of CWD in infected areas is to lower the numbers of deer to a point that verges on eradication.
I know nobody wants to say that zero is a good thing, but the evidence is we probably have to get pretty close to zero before naturally this disease is going to burn itself out.
In Wisconsin, there are as many as 50 deer per square mile. Samuel says the CWD hot zone in this crowded landscape has become one of the front lines for research on this wildlife disease. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Hello, Americans. This is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably a few more years
I'm talking about now, like the tread on a tire. Yeah, never mind. I can't take it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Talk radio right from the left. It's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. So this select group of British families, no one knows who has been selected to do a photo op with George Bush. The family members of some of the British soldiers who have died in Iraq, I believe they have sustained 53 deaths of their soldiers. We're over 300 now, I believe. But again, Reg Keyes, whose son Thomas was killed there, said, I'd love to meet him, but I'd refuse his hand. I'd say, Mr. Bush, I can't shake that hand. It's stained with the blood of my son. According to Reuters, Bush's meeting with families of soldiers killed in Iraq have been billed as one of the centerpieces of his state visit to Britain. See, he won't do it here, will he? Of course not. But he'll do it there. Bush is going to find these people, the families, to be a difficult audience for him to manipulate, for his manipulations, for Karl Rove's manipulations. In the UK and Great Britain over the past few months, parents and widows, you see, of these soldiers have emerged as some of the war's most potent critics, just as in this country, family members of victims who were blown to pieces in the trade towers have become potent critics of the Bush crime family, especially where it concerns the independent investigation of what happened. Right? We know this. But the families in Britain are trying to balance family pride in their husbands and sons' sacrifice with anger over what they see as false justifications for the war. In other words, Bush and Blair's lies. The lies that took their children to death. Lance Corporal Thomas Keyes was 20. He was one of six British Royal Military policemen who was killed by an angry mob while training Iraqi police in June in a town near the southern city of Basra. Reg Keyes, who has not been invited to shake Bush's filthy hand, said, "I want to challenge Bush to meet me. I think I know more about what's going on in Iraq than he does from phone calls with my son, who was on the ground out there." And, of course, we're all familiar in these cheesy, filthy, cheap interviews that Bush did before he went to London. Bush stressing his plans to meet the families of soldiers who died in Iraq. And in Bush's words, to tell them their loved ones didn't die in vain. And the actions we've taken will make the world more secure and the world more peaceful in the long run. And get the oil to me and my backers. Gotta hate this guy. But Reuters goes on to say, Bush's comments have been partly overshadowed by widows and parents, several of whom have said they want to know part of what Mr. Keyes calls, quote, a propaganda means for his, Bush's, re-election. Keyes said his son died believing he had gone to war to protect his country from Iraq's weapons of mass destruction. Keyes said, I think we were all deceived, and I think Bush has got a nerve to show his face after the deceit he's pointed toward us. My son goes off to war thinking he's protecting the country. He's gone off deceived, and he dies deceived. Even Tony Blair stays away at a memorial service for families whose family members died in the conflict. There was a memorial service at London St. Paul Cathedral last month. Tony Blair didn't speak. The sermon was given by the Archbishop of Canterbury, who is one of the war's steadiest critics. Several family members at that event said they didn't want Blair to attend the service at all. But Mr. Keyes, who has not been invited by George Bush to come and be a good puppy, Mr. Keyes said he sought out the Prime Minister at a reception afterwards. Can you imagine this happening in the United States? He went up to Blair and he said, "The blood of my son is on your hands. You're responsible. How do you react to that?" Mr. Keyes said that Tony Blair looked white, even whiter than he normally does. Mr. Keyes said, I have to be fair to the man. He didn't dodge the question. He did say that he was responsible for the deaths, but that he was trying to make Iraq a better place. I said, all you've done, Mr. Prime Minister, is kick the lid off a hornet's nest. Now, can you imagine this coward, this bully, George Bush, attending a memorial service for 50 or 60 dead Americans? And afterwards being confronted by a parent who would come up to Bush and say, you know, you've got my son's blood on your hands. You're responsible. How do you react to that? Can you imagine Bush standing there saying, yeah, I am responsible. Yep. If that happened in this country, the parent asking that question would be beat to the ground in half a heartbeat if he even got that close to this imperial bully, George W. Bush. And if he did get that close and was beaten, he would immediately be arrested by the Secret Service for threatening King George. Oh, well. Jerry is calling from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Mark. I want to just remind the listeners, not that I don't want them to listen to IE America, but or the Margin Mike.
Oh, go ahead.
That app. That app. That if there ever was a time to listen to the BBC, now is it in the next 3 days.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. Yeah.
And it was reported on the Diane Rehm show earlier today that Bush even, they wanted the Queen, Elizabeth II, to have a pass at Buckingham Palace.
I know. I heard that on NPR. These unconscionable thugs wanted the Queen to be ID checked.
As though they don't know who the Queen is.
Well, they don't.
Walking on her ground.
Well, they don't.
Buckingham Palace.
You did
history,
say...
History, George.
You did say Buckingham, didn't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. I said Buckingham Palace.
Good, good.
I'm sorry. It's probably my southern drawl. And I was at the dentist. I had dental work earlier this morning.
Oh, well, bless your heart.
Just real quickly, the speech that he's saying, have you heard this thing that he's going to say to the Europeans?
I have not. Have you seen a copy of it?
I've heard quips of it. It's war is peace.
Oh, well, sure.
It's if there ever was a Stalinist fascist...
It's him.
It's him. And, I don't know, I do agree with, first off, the letter you read last night was just incredible. I want to thank you for that.
Stan Goff's letter to, to servicemen. Mm. I've got it posted on my website. I'm sure Kathy will have sound from that speech you're talking about. He's to give it tomorrow at I guess around 4:30, UK time, which will be, what, around 9, there's a 7-hour difference, I believe, so it would be around 9:30 a.m. I would imagine CNN will carry this live in the morning. Is that right, Kathy? Okay. So people can watch this jackass.
Yeah.
Now, you know he turned down an invitation or scheduled speech he's going to give before a joint session of Parliament.
Oh, yes. Well, have you heard the quips? Have you seen Parliament on C-SPAN this week?
I have not.
How they went after Tony Blair. It was just incredible. But Tony Blair, it's just incredible that they, and again, they're inhibited with what they can say. And I think that's
right.
One reason why I'm enjoying so much watching this. I agree. I think the mayor of London said that they ought to charge the whole thing to the RNC.
Yeah.
And we need to start doing that because they are such a liability. The Republican Party in this country is such a liability. We need to start charging them for it. No, I'm totally serious. And maybe this crap that they slap on Jesus.
I know.
I shouldn't have said that because I thought what you said was so sweet about that. And having grown up next door to Oral Roberts, I will say that we at least used to get into those things for free.
Yeah.
But it's the last thing I want to say is I do agree with the speech that that he's giving with George Soros and Howard Dean.
Mm-hmm.
George Soros is saying that Bush is a threat to Western civilization.
Oh, he is. There's no question. And not just Western. Eastern, too. Northern, Southern, and all compass points in between. He's a threat to the planet.
I agree. And again, it's because the stupid act he's doing that's going over there like a lead balloon.
I know.
And Howard Dean, who says that the re-election of George Bush would mean the downfall of this country. I agree with those statements. And
yeah. Thanks for checking in, Jerry.
Well, I appreciate it.
All right. Let me build on what Jerry just said. The mayor of London, Ken Livingstone, has launched a stinging attack on Too Stupid to Be President the other night. I think it was last night. Livingstone denounced Bush as, quote, the greatest threat to life on this planet that we've most probably ever seen, end quote. Livingstone recalled a visit that he made to California during Easter last year, where he was denounced for an attack he had made on what he called, quote, the most corrupt and racist American administration over 80 years, end quote. He said, quote, some U.S. journalists came up to me and said, how can you say this about President Bush? Well, Livingstone now says, I think what I said then was quite mild. I actually think that Bush is the greatest threat to life on this planet that we've most probably ever seen. The policies he is initiating will doom us to extinction. If carried out, is Livingstone engaging in just ridiculous hyperbole here? No, of course not. You know it, and I know it. But because the American public is grossly ignorant and exceedingly myopic, not to mention willfully ignorant, and the rest of the world is not, they can see this. Now, the mayor of London is holding what he calls a peace party for anti-war groups at London City Hall today, now. Tomorrow. What time is it? It's midnight. It's almost midnight here, Eastern Time. So it's what, Kathy, 7 in the morning there. There will be a peace party for anti-war groups at City Hall in the middle of London today. And Livingstone said, quote, "I don't formally recognize George Bush because he was not officially elected. So we are organizing an alternative reception for everybody who is not George Bush." Oh, my God. And by the way, Livingstone was expelled from the Labour Party because he stood as an independent in the race for the mayor of London back in 2000. That's what they do there. If you have the temerity to want to maintain your Labour Party affiliation but run as an independent because you'd like to be mayor of London, they kick your ass out of the party. I guess they would do that here too, right? Although I don't know how you can do that. How could Tom DeLay say to someone you're no longer a Republican? But the mayor of London, this has to cause a very severe embarrassment for Tony Blair, doesn't it? The mayor of London is saying Bush is the greatest threat to life on this planet. And I saw a video tonight on CNN of Bush arriving at where? Heathrow, and there to greet him was Bonnie Prince Charlie, who, depending on whom you want to believe in the British tabloid press, was either found engaged in man-to-man sex or wasn't. But there he is meeting Bush. I wonder if Bush put on a latex glove before he shook his hand. Well, what about it? What about it? Were you really doing that, guy? And how does Bush square Prince Charles's affair with this what's her name? Camilla Parker Bowles, right? Been having an affair with her in violation of his marriage for what? Forever? Ooh, it's just creepy. I'm sorry if I'm offending any of our Brit listeners. I do apologize, but I really do think that Prince Charles is just creepy, just absolutely creepy. I think the whole lot of them are creepy for that matter. But then I'm not a royalist. Spitfire is calling from Anaheim, California. Welcome to the program, Spitfire.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, it's going fine.
I just had my 6,000th post on your message board.
Spitfire is talking about MikeMalloy.com, the message boards. If you haven't gone there and registered, and 6,000 you have posted?
Yep.
Oh, my God. Do you have a job? Do you have a life?
Yes.
Yeah?
Well, actually, I sold a business years ago. I retired at 35.
Oh, my God. You're one of those rich tech people, huh? Well, bless your heart. 6,000 posts. I am impressed. That site's only been open since May.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, prior to that, I was at another place that I got like 33,600 posts on.
Oh, my God.
So.
Well, I have to say, I visit that site. I don't post there myself. I believe in staying away because that belongs to the folks who listen to the program, but I've read a lot of your stuff, and I appreciate it. It's a lot of fun. I very frequently go to MikeMalloy.com, go to those message boards, and check out what people are talking about. And some of it is really hysterically funny. Some of it is poignant. Some of it is vicious and vile. Some of it is
thank you for the vicious and vile.
Right. Some is very well informed. But it's great sport to go to the website and read.
Well, any topic that you stumble across, but yeah, don't have time to mention on your show.
I should introduce it.
You could just
it. Yeah.
Go ahead and throw it up there and
that's
call
true.
It a free for all and let us have at it.
That's true. I tend to stay away from posting my own comments here because I think what you folks do who post there is so wildly entertaining. I just like to stay away from it. But that's a good idea. I may come up with some stuff, Spitfire, but you guys are so much better at that than I could ever be. I know you really are in terms of the ideas and thoughts that you come up with. It's awful lot of static on the phone here. Is that? Do you hear that?
Yeah, I do.
All right, now what you really called about?
Okay, Bush.
Wait a second. Got to take a break.
Okay.
Let me put you on hold. We'll come right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Psychiatrist, figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout. We'll all feel better in the morning. Compassionate conservative, my ass, in executions unsurpassed, surplus gone so fast, divided, not united. What's he gonna do now? What's he gonna try? Does he really think on getting his knife? Does he care if children die? La 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 la. Put him in a straitjacket, there's no doubt. Let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout. We'll all feel better in the morning.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Oh. You'll sleep like a...
Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nighty?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, and you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Our scientists have studied and found that our listeners have a lot of stress from the lack of being able to get their questions and comments off of their minds, which can cause nausea, vomiting, and eventually will make you strip down, sit in a corner, and drool while counting pretty yellow and pink elephants flying around.
Okay.
So now, IE America Radio Network is proud to present the IE Hotline. Call and give your comments.
I just wanted to call and let you know your internet station totally rocks off the chart.
Your suggestions.
I think Doug Stephan should be on all day, 24/7. Yeah.
Your questions.
Got a question about Bush. How the hell do you put food on your family? What is that?
Crop growth and biologic growth are by the good will and volitional control.
Or whatever the heck that just was. So call 1-800-397-8255 and leave a message for any one of our on-air talents. 1-800-397-8255. Operators are standing by. Just kidding. You have to leave a message.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Finally, the majority has a voice in talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
Hey, welcome back. Five before the hour. We're talking with Spitfire, who's called in from Anaheim, California. Now, where were we, Spitfire?
Oh, it was on Bush's visit.
Bush's. That is bad static, dude.
Really?
Yeah, okay, go ahead. Now
okay, Bush's visit over to England.
Uh-huh.
My whole basic attitude is just contrast it with the way that England played the national anthem right after 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at it now, and they're practically getting ready to pat down the Queen.
Yeah, all of Europe, in addition to the UK, and most of the rest of the world, even Iran, there were spontaneous displays of sympathy and compassion on September 11th. And it's all gone now.
Yeah, it's all gone.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody hates us.
Yeah.
And the reason why everybody hates us is very, very simple.
George Bush.
Republicans are easy to hate.
Yeah.
I hate these people.
Right.
And everybody in the world is learning to hate these people.
Yeah, and we're stuck with them until we can get rid of them. If we can get rid of them, I hope.
You saw the visit of Clinton to Kosovo, didn't you?
Say it again?
Did you see the visit of Clinton to Kosovo? He was greeted there, you know. He was laying a wreath at a monument for the victims of the war. And he just walked amongst people. I mean, the Secret Service was there, but they were, like, in the background.
Yeah, you know my position on Clinton and the bombing at Kosovo, Yugoslavia. I was in opposition to that. But by the same token, I understand your point that a world leader is not a coward as well as a bully and a punk. And that's exactly what George Bush is. I mean, this entourage that has gone there. Deb in Calgary, Canada, just sent me this link to a Times of London article that there was a plan to create a mobile telephone-free bubble for Bush 15 minutes before he arrived at Buckingham Palace and 15 minutes after, where mobile phone service in central London would be cut off so that there would be no transmissions of any sort of mobile phone service. And the company that provides a mobile phone service there said no. It's called Orange. They said, no, you crazy? Hey, there's the music, Spitfire. We got a boogie.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Have fun.
All right, Spitfire. Appreciate you checking in. Program tonight engineered in Detroit by Jay Balecki, produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay, and Robin Bittman is our announcer. Mark Marshall is a webmaster at MikeMalloy.com. Check it out, okay? Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief. Thanks for joining us. I will see you tomorrow night, I hope. I really hope.